Welcome to Voice of Heaven, a space where leaders breathe again. This is not just a mere conversation, but it's a space where information goes beyond and gets you to a space of restoration in your soul. And today we have a wonderful guest here with me. He's a wonderful person and he comes with different shades and sizes. He has a connection with this generation and every other generation you might ever think of. He is Bisi Akonde, a wonderful man often called PBA. You're welcome.
Thank you very much. It's such a pleasure to be here on the Voice of Heaven.
Interesting. Now, from Voice of Heaven, one key thing we do is to bring life to whatever we're doing and to bring awareness to you as a person. And today, I would like to ask that PBA will tell us who he is. So PBA, who are you?
Okay, that's an interesting question because honestly, a lot of people, when they ask them, who are you, they always answer with their identification or their identity. So the question will be, for me, the answer to that question will be, my name is Olabisi Akonde. I'm called the Inspirer. And that's because I live to inspire people to lead and to live better. I mean, that's just the core of who I am. I try to make sure that my work, my life, is building the dreams of those who have dreams that they want to run with. So basically, that's who I would say I am. I inspire you to be more so that you can live and lead better.
So yes, before someone can inspire you, the person has to be a leader. So to you, please give us the definition of who a leader truly is.
It looks like you already answered the question. Before somebody can inspire you, he has to be a leader. So that means anyone who is a leader should be able to inspire you. And that's it. But more importantly, I think we need to understand the subject of leadership from what the leader does. It's very important. And what the leader is supposed to be doing. Leadership, they say, is influence. So it's the ability to get to influence people, the ability to get people from point A to point B, the ability to get people to a place that they probably didn't want to go to, but eventually they love it when they get there. It's like the ability to, because sometimes you might be able to, you might want to lead people on a vision that they have not really been able to understand, because the truth is that they can't even see where they are going. You're talking about a place that they have never seen and they want to get there. And if they are going to get to that place, they can't see. Most of the time they want to say, no, I don't want this. So people want change, but people resist change. I mean, when we talk a lot of times, you know, I want my circumstance to be better. Mm-hmm. I want my life to be better. That's an invitation for change. But the truth is that they resist change. And most of the time, people don't resist change because of the change. They resist the change because of the impact of the change. And the impact of the change can only be made different if you can see where you are going. But if they can't see where they are going, it becomes a problem. But as a leader, you're able to take them from where they are to where they are going. And by then they get there, they would love it because that's the change that they have always been looking for. So it has to do with a lot of things. It has to do with influence, not manipulation. Because in today's world, people rule and they call it leadership. Yeah. But that's not what it's supposed to be. You're supposed to lead, which means that at the end of the day, the people who go with you actually end up getting along with you.
Along with you. I like that. And that tells me that there was something that actually influenced you from childhood. So what childhood experience shaped your leadership position today?
Okay. I don't know if this works, this answers your question, but I'll try and share this. You know, back in school, one of the things that I never got to do back in school was I was never a class captain. I was never a school prefect. I don't want to say it's a regret. I don't like it. I was not happy about it because I really wanted to be upfront, but nobody gave me the opportunity or the chance. And I think the reason for me was because of something that has to do with my natural space. Mm-hmm. I wasn't big. I was very smallish. And usually, it's usual for people that are small in size to be despised. But I always tell people that, be very careful because dynamites are not They're not exactly. Big. They are really big. You know, dynamites are not very big, you know. And that's very critical. You know, sometimes it's not about the size, it's about the agility.
Yeah.
Anyway, and smaller things are more agile, I think. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think smaller mm-hmm. things are more agile. Mm-hmm. You know? So they never gave me that chance. And so I formed an opinion, which was very, very bad. But thank God that I changed that opinion. You know, I formed an opinion that if you are going to lead, then you must have size. You know, and yeah. that comes from what you see in the movies, hero. Heroes are very big, you know, and they can do a lot of things. So that was one opinion I formed. Another opinion I formed is that if you're going to lead, then you must have a position.
Yeah.
If you're not a class captain, then you should be the class prefect or you should mm-hmm. be the school prefect. Whatever it is, you must have a position. You know, that's another one. I didn't have one. So the third one was that I felt that if you're going to lead, or another opinion I got that you've got to have loyalty. You know, if you your father is the king,
yeah.
then you're a prince. And if you're a prince, then you are possibly going to become the king if the man goes, you know. And these three things didn't work for me. I didn't have any of them. So personally, I thought that I would never be a leader, you know, until when I left school and then somebody called me and told me that I was supposed to take over a position in an organization. And I asked him, what was I supposed to do? And he told me, it was quite menial. My question then was, since you've called me a leader, can you give me the people to follow me? And he said, sorry, I have no people for you.
For you.
Wow. I look for the people.
Wow.
So wow. I started my leadership journey as the leader without any followers.
Without a follower.
And usually they say, if you are leading and nobody's following you, you say, what do you do? Say, it means that you are taking a walk. So that shaped my life. That made me understand that if I really was going to succeed at my leadership, then I needed to learn leadership. Because leadership is caught, leadership is also learned.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized that I could learn leadership, so I took the time to begin to learn. That was when I met your mentor, John Maxwell, the great. And I read the first book called The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, which I read. And I'm sure that everyone who wants to really lead would get that book and apply it to their life. So I read that book and I realized that, so I could learn. And that was where the journey started. And then from one man leading himself, I discovered that one man could lead five.
Aye.
And from five, I got to 50. And today, not too badly, I can say that across the world, I have a number of people who I could say are following with me.
Wow. I love the fact that there was growth while you came. You, where you were coming from, you experienced, let me use the word burnout at a point. Why? Because you limited yourself to the fact that, I can't be there because I'm not coming from three basic backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, you didn't stop there. Something spurred you to move on. That's why the fact that you were given an opportunity to lead. Something in you didn't stop. That thing moved. And that something has a name. Please, could you tell us the name?
If you ask me, my name, the name I'd give that thing would be personal inspiration.
Mm.
Yeah, I want to call it personal inspiration because a lot of people are waiting for inspiration. And I trust me on this. I'll call the inspirer. Mm. If you wait for inspiration, sometimes you expire while still running.
True.
You just get expired, you know.
True.
So why I say personal inspiration is that, you see, sometimes in life, you move and inspiration meets you there.
Yeah.
When I was doing the opportunity, I could have kept the opportunity myself. I could have actually run away from the opportunity. But something just says move. So I moved. And my first step was get to learn about this thing. Exactly. And the moment I agreed I was going to learn about this thing, you know, like it's often said, when the student is ready,
the teacher
will appear. You know, the moment I stepped out to say, let's go. You know, and so if I call it personal inspiration, I would also say that what I'm talking about is action.
Yeah.
If you are going to lead, there is no way you will not be a fan of action.
Mm-hmm.
I recently became a fan of Arsenal, by the way. You know, but if you are going to lead, you must be a fan of action. You must be...
Yeah.
Action-oriented. You may be somebody that will just see something and just go. You never want to keep it quiet. You never want to just stay in one place. You just want to act. So I think it's that action that got me to say, hey, those three mindsets, That's not it.
Yeah.
That's not the reality. So mm-hmm. I hit on that action and then, and the rest, as they say.
The inspirer, as he is called. It means that he knew what he was doing at the point where he didn't even know what he was doing. He did something. He yeah. jumped and grew his wings, just like our mentor tells us. And it's a wonderful thing to get connected to that kind of a mindset. I need to inspire myself first before I can inspire anybody. Imagine his story. He said he was given a leadership position. There was no follower. If you were the one, you would definitely run out of the place. For me, I must confess, I would run out of the place. But what did he do? He didn't. He faced it. He focused on it. He sat on it. Even when there were defining moments in his life, he did something. He made a move. So when there was defining moments in your life, sir, what did you do?
I think I would do what, if I have another defining moment like that time, mm-hmm. I would do what I did at that time. I think that the key or the reality for many of us is that no matter,
yeah,
focus on learning. Mm. Because growth happens when we begin to learn.
Learn, yeah.
The biggest challenge that I see with many people today is that we don't want to take the time to learn. And because we don't learn, we don't grow. Yeah. I think that is just it. Mm-hmm. See, somebody will say, I don't know what to do. But what to do answers to learning. If I don't know what to do, I learn. Even if I know what to do, I need to be able to do it better.
Better.
So even if mm-hmm. I know what to do, what do I do? I learn so that I can do what I know to do better. So for me, that's the key word. Wherever you are, any defining moment in your life mm-hmm. will be defined better
yeah.
by that singular principle of learning. And that learning doesn't have to be formal. It can mm-hmm. be what we are doing here.
Yeah.
For example, even before we started, there were quite a number of learning curves where yeah. we were and all we were talking about. There were a lot of learning things that happened there. So just mm-hmm. be open-minded. And I think that for leaders, it's very important that we are open-minded to learning. Open-minded, always ready to pick something. And incidentally, like I like to share, you can learn from anybody.
Yeah.
If you meet a bad person, you learn how not to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you meet a good person, you learn how to be good.
Be good.
So it's what you want to learn, you want to learn. If you meet a leader that is doing well, you learn how to lead. If you meet a leader who is not leading but ruling, you learn how not to lead. So whichever way, just open your heart to the place of learning. It helps a lot. It helps to kill dissatisfaction. It helps to kill failure. It helps to kill everything that would be like an opposition to where you are going to. So learning, for me, would be very important. Part of my defining moments.
Interesting. So one key thing that struck me just now as you were speaking was, if we have close to like 1,000 leaders wanting to hear something key from you, wanting to hear, you know, how they can navigate, how they would become who they are meant to be, despite whatever situation they find themselves. When they stand to look at you, beyond your titles, beyond all the achievements you've had, what would you say to them?
Well, if I would say one thing, I'm thinking, yeah, if I'm going to say one thing to leaders, because now you're talking about leaders, so
yes.
If I'm going to say one thing to leaders, is that please never arrive.
Mm.
Never arrive. Huh. Never arrive. You see, the biggest challenge I've seen is that too many of us, we arrive too soon.
Yeah.
You know, we just get there. I've started doing this and that is it. And we make it look like that's the end point of anything that we are doing. Because, see, life is a stretch. Things stretch. There's nothing that is static. It's like we live in a world that is always constantly in a state of motion. I think they call it the law of vibration. But, you know, I don't like to put those names to those things. So I don't confuse you. But really, we are all moving. Things are moving. So you cannot get to a place where, like John Maxwell would always say that the reason why you should not arrive is because when you get to the finish line, you are finished.
You're finished.
And since you don't want to be finished, you never arrive. So if there's anything that I would say to leaders, that I say to myself, that I don't want to arrive.
Yeah.
I never want to arrive. There's no place where, you know, you get to and you say, okay, this is it. We've done it and there's nothing we can do. You know, there's nothing we can do more because there's always more that we can do. If you say, I have nothing more to do, then we are only deceiving ourselves because the thing we keep working and it keeps moving. All we need to do is in fact, the only people that arrive are those who are not learning.
Yeah.
And if you are learning, you would never be able to arrive because you know, there's this quote that somebody showed me some time ago. He said that the more you know, the more you know that there's a lot that needs to be known that you didn't know. And the more you get to know, then you will know that there's a lot that you knew that you need to know, you didn't know. And when I read it, it was a little bit confusing, it's a mouthful. But you know, the truth is that the more you know, the more you know that you don't know.
That you don't know.
And the more you know that you need to know. And the more you need to know, the more you move. So knowledge is that one thing that doesn't stay static. You just keep knowing and keep knowing, you know.
Yeah.
Incidentally, there are some people who go to university, and they go and do research and what do you call it. They say when you do your PhD, you want to add to the body of knowledge. No, I keep telling people, no, don't add to your body. Don't just add to the body of knowledge. Let's add to the body of action.
Exactly.
The more you know, the more you act. Then the more you act, the more you know, need to know. The more you know, the more you act. The more you act, the more you need to know. So it just keeps going. So we must consistently keep an open mind to learn. And it's today's world. I see leaders who act as if they know it all, but nobody ever knows it all.
True. True. A lot of times we confuse information and it gets us to that space of worry. And worry leads to burnout. And for Voice of Haven, we have something, a key solution that we give to people. And what is that solution? Bringing them out of burnout. Burnout is real. A lot of people feel there's nothing in it. It's just to just go through it, pass it and move on. But I've realized that from everything you have said today, there are stages. Burnout comes in with this disguise that there's no problem. And you were able to recognize it despite the fact that you didn't hit the word burnout, that this was what I experienced at this time. So what are two key things you would want to tell leaders that they should learn to do, like more like a do and a don't for leaders, so that when burnout come towards them, it won't come in that writing or in the spelling burnout. It will come in different ways. It happens to whoever you call yourself, be it the president, the governor, in the space of the family, the fathers in the home. So what word? Because the truth is one key rule guides everybody. No matter the office you find yourself and no matter the title. So what are those keywords you would want us to work with as leaders? Because everybody is a leader. There's something you're leading.
Okay, so let me try to delve into this burnout the way I see it, right?
Okay.
First of all, you want to ask yourself, what causes it? And I think what causes it most of the time is that we do too much.
Yeah.
We do too much. And
true.
Then the other side of it is that we take ourselves too seriously. You know?
Yes.
I was in that space, taking myself so seriously. You know, everything is supposed to be speak and span. You just want everything, let it be here, let it be. And then you trouble yourself so much and nobody's really troubling you. You know, another problem is that, because you see, people that succeed suffer burnout.
Yes.
And that's the challenge.
True.
So, in fact, sometimes they suffer the burnout right after success. And then they just say, and then all of a sudden, and the truth is that what I've noticed is that the reason we suffer burnout after success is because despite the success, there's still more.
Yeah.
However, we have done so much, we have tried to do a lot, we have put a lot on our side, and then we do two things, which is bad and good, depending on where you put it, because they can make themselves.
Yeah.
Isolation.
Mm-hmm.
So I added one other thing to one thing. Isolation, the other thing is insulation. Now, you can isolate yourself, which creates a problem. I know a story about a leader who succeeded. And then when he heard a word of fear, he ran away, he left everybody behind, and he isolated himself.
Wow.
And that isolation became more of a problem. In fact, when people isolate themselves, that's when you hear people say things like, it's lonely at the top. Mm. You know, and we often say that if you say it's lonely at the top, it's because you are doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. Many times you isolate yourself and then you say it's lonely at the top. Nobody said you should be lonely at the top. Who said you shouldn't bring others to the top with you? Because if it's lonely at the top, you went alone.
Yeah.
Could you have taken somebody along with you? Mm-hmm. Could you have brought others along with you? If you didn't bring people along with you and then you went all alone, blame nobody because it's lonely at the top. You caused it. You didn't allow people to come to the top with you. Mm-hmm. No, don't go bring them along. They might run away and he's still there. But you know, the good thing is that eventually, and when you have burnout, you have to be able to also learn how to insulate yourself. Now, what do I mean by insulate yourself? You have to get to a place where, even though I'm now alone, I'm not isolated because I'm reinventing and evolving so that I can be the person I need to be. And two things that I think will help us, and this is fun. You want to get out of burnout? This is me telling you now. Eat.
So you heard that. Eat.
Eat. Mm-hmm. And rest. There are two things that is not natural for me to sit down here and be saying this to you because, you know, eat and rest. And I won't tell you where I got my story from, because, but I'm a person of faith. But I can tell you that that comes from a place of faith.
Yeah.
Eat and rest. Because sometimes that's just all you need. Mm. When you've done a good job, just congratulate yourself. Give yourself a pat on the back.
Yeah.
That, look, this is nice. You've done this. Now, even if you have not done a good job, but you have put in a lot of effort, give yourself a pat on the back.
Yeah.
And that might just be it. And that might just be rest. Just relax. Because, you know, I was listening to one of our coaches recently, and she was talking about the fact that you can make your life 90 minutes and 30 minutes. And what she said was that work hard for 90 minutes, rest for 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
That because in that period of rest, and you create. See, I know you deal with children a lot, so let me come to your space.
Okay.
One of the ways children get their life and create a lot in their life is that they have play.
Yeah.
They play a lot. So a child will be playing somewhere and be acting like a father that he has never been. Acting like a mother they have never been. They play. So you see, their creativity comes from a place of play. But you know, when we grow older, we throw play aside. No wonder we lose our creativity.
True.
No wonder we lose our intelligence. In fact, under 5, there are more people that are geniuses than under 11. When people begin to be 11, their genius begins to reduce. And the higher they get in life, the older they get in life, their genius keeps reducing. Why? Because you forget play. Mm. So my own strategy for burnout is very simple. Eat, rest, and then get back to work.
Then maybe I would add play. Just play. Wow. What a wonderful session. I so, so much love this because there is this wealth of play I see. The way you've been answering and, you know, I see this play that is bringing in awareness of a reality we must all know. Not only as leaders, whoever you may be, teammates, followers and all that. So let's just be encouraged that from here we have learned something. Take action. In anything and in everything you're doing, please learn to take action. Inspire yourself. If you don't know how to inspire yourself, don't worry. I'm going to connect you with PBA. He is the inspirer. So he will anoint you, connect you, baptize you, and give you all it takes to become inspired in anything. And then, how can we move on in life to make life better? Everybody says we're going somewhere at the end of our lives. Mm. Where we're going, have you sat down to think of it? What are you going to do there? Guess what? We're going to sleep. We're going to eat. We're going to play. So this is our message from Voice of Haven today. Where leaders forget their titles. Where leaders forget who they are. Where leaders remember that it's time for them to pause and do something and breathe again. And so that's the essence of what he just told us. Mm-hmm. It's time to breathe again.
Yeah.
So I challenge you today, just as our guest, PBA, the Inspirer, has said, it is time to breathe again. Just pause. Relax. It's okay to sleep. In fact, if it's possible, you see that 8 hours sleep, they are saying, please add maybe like 3-4 more hours to it. And then sleep, then wake up, you'll be refreshed. Brain instructors will tell you, when you sleep, you are restored. Your brain is restored. So why don't we go back to it? Why do we want to be lonely at the top? From Voice of Haven, today we bring to you the Inspirer that has come to inspire you. Please don't just stay inspired. Take action. Mm-hmm. Remember, he said so. Mm-hmm. Take action. And after you have taken action, please sleep, eat, and enjoy your life. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And thank you, PBA, for coming on Voice of Haven. It's a big privilege. And one more thing. What is that final word you want to give to our listeners? Because I'm sure they want to hear more from you.
final word. Final word will be stay inspired. Mm. Keep working. And when you have given yourself that work, rest, eat, just enjoy your life. The best that you can do is enjoy your life. When things are working, enjoy. When things are not working, please also enjoy. Because that's the best you can do.
In essence, when you don't have money to buy that expensive wine,
you don't need water. You don't need the wine. Actually, the truth is that you don't even need anything to really enjoy yourself. Mm-hmm. All you need to enjoy yourself is yourself.
Exactly. You need just yourself.
You can celebrate your birthday with a glass of water. That'll be enough.
And true.
That'll be enough.
That reminds me, let me drop this before we go off. That reminds me when I was younger, I remember I was always telling myself, I'm a queen. And one day I just went to my mom's wardrobe and I picked her, George wrapper. And I wore everything. And you know, I went to the living room and I crossed my leg. I didn't know they were looking at me. I crossed and I was, you know, giving myself that vibe. Uh-huh. Sometimes when I feel so bad or when I'm in a bad mood, I remember that. Mm-hmm. Scene, and it brings me back to joy. So thank you, PBA, for coming to Voice of Haven.
It's a pleasure.
Voice of Haven is here again, and we're glad you joined us and you're happy to be here. This is Voice of Haven, where leaders pause and breathe again. Thank you, and God bless you. Till we meet again in our next episode.